So we're in James 1 again. And last time I spoke, I preached on James 1, 1, put your teeth in, Paul. James 1, 3 to 4, about how trials help to strengthen our faith and to make us more like Jesus. And so in the next section, James moves on from the trials, and he begins to show another way in which faith works. That it not only shows itself through trials and difficulties, but also our faith can work in showing us and giving us wisdom. And so James says this. This is chapters 5 to 8. So I read the whole passage before, but we're in chapters 5 to 8 this morning. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So James is talking about acquiring wisdom. And he says there's two things we need to do to acquire wisdom from God. We need to ask and we need to believe. So how would you, and this is a question, you can answer this. How would you describe wisdom? Nobody? Nobody has any idea how you might describe wisdom? Good one, yeah. Yeah. Making the right decision in the right making the right decision in the particular circumstance that you're in, yeah. Yeah. And that's quite a good answer, actually, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Because some people would say that wisdom is about knowing certain things. So it takes knowledge to know that a fire burns, that it's hot. It takes knowledge to know that you can put wood in and you can put paper in and it will burn up and it will make the fire stronger. But it takes wisdom to know not to put your hand in. So that is basically what Elaine just said. It's knowing in that situation what to do and what not to do, isn't it, as well? So wisdom helps us to understand our trials, is what James is saying here. So we've had some trials that he's been talking about. And if we need wisdom, we only need to ask God, he says, and he will give it to us. So if you go back to the analogy of a fire, if a small child, particularly a very young child, looks at that nice, shiny, warm thing that's flickering, do they know to keep their hands out, or will they potentially put their hand into that nice, flickery, warm thing to see what it feels like? So, if a child came to you and asked, "Can I put my hand in the fire?" you would say, "No." So, in the same way, God doesn't judge us or criticize us when we ask for wisdom for the things that we don't understand. So in the situations like Elaine's talking about, where we need to know what to do in that situation, God knows we don't understand. It says here we need to ask. He knows what we need, and he knows that we need it, and he loves to bless us and give it to us. But the key is that we ask with faith. And of course, faith can be defined in many things, and some of James is about faith and works and how they go together and what faith looks like, and that faith doesn't stand on its own, and that faith, though it's saved, we're saved by faith alone, that still we need to have works that go with that, that show our faith. But here, let's just look at faith as believing God to give us what we ask. Let's just make it that simple. So I don't know if you remember, if you know the story of but they're actually two stories, both about persistent people, but I'm going to talk about one of them. There's the persistent widow, and then there's this story that Jesus told, which is, I'm calling the persistent neighbour. I thought there's a better word for it than that. It's in Luke 11, 5 to 10. So you can turn to it if you want, but you don't have to. I'm going to read it anyway. And Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine has gone on a journey and has come to me, and I have no food to offer. And suppose the one inside hears and says, don't bother me. The door's already locked and the children are in bed. I can't give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. So in this parable, the neighbor comes and asks, even though the man in the house doesn't want to give it to him because it's the wrong time and all of the other stuff, because the man asks persistently, he eventually gives him bread. And the point according to Jesus is that we should go on asking, go on seeking, go on knocking in prayer until God gives us an answer. And I'm not a Greek scholar, but in the Greek of the original New Testament, those phrases are in a continuous sense. So you go on asking, you go on seeking, you go on finding until God gives us an answer. And we should be, and I love the language of the parable here, shamelessly audacious. I don't know what it says in the NIV that you've got. I actually used a different translation when I was preparing this, but in the ESV that I used, it says shamelessly audacious in asking God for what we need. Shamelessly audacious. So we were talking about children before, so let's go back to the image of children, okay? So imagine there's 3 different children. You've got the spoiled child, you've got the shy child, and you've got a confident child. And a spoiled child, they might ask their parents for what they need, what they want, and if they don't get it, they'll pout, they'll have a tantrum. They'll storm off. The shy child might be too scared to ask because they don't want their parents to say no, or they don't believe their parents will give them what they want, or they just aren't confident enough to say, can I have this? The confident child will ask for anything they want. They know that their parents love them, they're confident in that, and they know their parents want to give to them, and they also know their parents might say no, but they're okay with that. You don't get many children like this, do you? But they're okay with that. This is an analogy for preaching, so you'll have to take it too far, but they're okay with that, and they accept that they don't always get what they want, but they're confident to ask. And God wants us to be confident children. So we're not scared to ask for what we need or even what we want sometimes because we know he gives good gifts to us. And we accept sometimes we won't get what we want because he has a bigger plan for us, and also it's not about us, it's about him and his purposes. So sometimes we don't get what we want. I heard a story of a famous preacher, they were being interviewed on something, and the interviewer said to them, I heard this story that you went on the plane and you asked for orange juice. You asked God if you could have orange juice instead of apple juice because you were fed up with orange juice. And he said, yeah, I was fed up with orange juice and God's my father. So I thought I would ask, you know, paying for a parking space when you go into it. It seems silly in a way with all the things that go on in the world, yet that is shamelessly and audaciously knowing that our Father loves us, knowing that he is our Father, that he wants to give to us. And yes, pray for the big things. There's people starving and there's wars and there's all of that, of course. But actually, God's our Father who loves us. And we can ask him to give us what we want, what we need, especially what we need, even what we want. Just remember, if he doesn't give it, just move on, that's fine. He doesn't want us to have that. That's okay. Park somewhere else or have what you're given. And this applies to anything we ask for as God's children. It's all about understanding, really, that he's our Father, and so often we don't understand that. But in relation to the passage, we're told to ask for wisdom, and I really believe that if God says in this passage, ask for wisdom, that maybe, or definitely, he will give it to us. This isn't just asking for a parking space or something that, you know, this is something that God is saying, ask for it. and I will give it to you. So what situation, you don't have to answer this out loud, of course, but what situation are you in right now that you need wisdom in your family or your work or your relationships with people? You need wisdom. You need to know what to do. And you don't know what to do. Maybe you should ask God. I wonder if you've even thought to ask God. So often we don't, do we? We go around every single practical thing we can do, which are all important things, of course. Maybe you should ask God, what am I supposed to do? Give me wisdom. But we must believe and not doubt, James says. So we need to ask God, but we also need to believe that God will give to us. James says if we lack doubt, we're in the opposite of faith. James says doubters are like waves of the sea. A wave can't fight the wind. It can't push back against the wind. It goes completely its own way. And the wave is completely under the wind's power. Now, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Bex, but you're seasick, aren't you? Yeah. Hate boats. And every time we go on, we don't go on the ferry to France, partly for this reason, if we ever go to Europe. But when we have been on the ferry to France, Bex does not like it. She gets very seasick. Tossed by the waves all over the place on the boat. I love boats and I like walking around. Bex doesn't. And I remember one trip, you were sitting probably with your parents in the cafe bit. I don't even remember if Heidi was with us or not at that point, if she was even born then. I went for a little walk and the sea was really rocking. It was very rough. And there was two men that had, should they had a few too many. So they couldn't walk anyway. They're already all like this. And then the boat's rocking too. And not that I want to say that drunkenness is funny, because we shouldn't encourage drunkenness, but it was a little bit funny, to be honest, because they were sort of all like this, the boat's like this, and then they're like this. So they're being rocked all over the place. Remember me telling you about this? I don't know. And they were all like this all over the place. And it was a little bit funny, to be honest. But it is also, what James is saying, it's a good picture of doubt, actually, too. When you're doubting if God's going to give to us, we're all over the place. So you can't doubt and believe at the same time. James calls it double-minded. So our mind's over here. Oh, God wants to give. Oh, does he want to give? I don't know. Oh, maybe he does. Oh, I don't know. It's like you can't just be sure that this is what God wants to give us today. And James says that those who are thinking like that, they can't receive what they ask God for. And of course, we know God's gracious and sometimes gives it us anyway, but you can't ask because we're not asking in faith. You won't receive because we're not asking in faith. And of course, saying that we have doubts about things, whether it's what we're asking for or whether it's other things to do with our faith, isn't the same as saying that you're not a believer in Jesus. Because faith works, as I've already said before, in many ways, and there's saving faith, there's trusting in Jesus, being born again, as we call it. And of course, that's the most important thing. Saved by faith, grace through faith. But even as believers, most of us as God's children, all of us have doubts. We have doubts about general things, but also in the sense that we're talking about asking God for things. We have doubts whether God wants to give to us, or whether God will give to us. And in some ways, having doubt is an indicator that the real thing's there, isn't it? Because you can't doubt what you don't actually believe in the first place. You must believe it's true to doubt it's true. It's not the same as unbelief, where you completely don't believe in Jesus, don't want to follow him. People who don't want to follow Jesus, don't believe in Jesus, reject Jesus, are in unbelief. We all have doubt. And of course, some of us doubt certain things and not others. So you might believe that God can save your relative or something like that, but you might at the same time doubt that he can heal you or something else. You know, there's different, each of us has different things we doubt and different things we believe, and some of us struggle with belief for healing, and some believers struggle with belief for finances, and some struggle with belief for salvation for people. We all struggle with different kinds of doubts. It doesn't take us outside God's love and his mercy, but he does tell us to believe. And again and again and again, you see Jesus say, believe. So he wants us to believe, he requires us all to believe that he wants to give to us. to give that wisdom to us. So, you might say, but I don't. I'm not sure God does want to give me wisdom in this situation. I'm not sure what he wants to say, or indeed in any situation. Ask. Again, ask. Ask for faith. Ask for wisdom. And if you don't quite know if God wants to say or if he wants to give you wisdom, ask for faith. God gives us faith. He inspires our faith. He is the one that faith comes from, the author and finisher of our faith. Ask, and he will answer you. And again, as in asking for wisdom, so I believe that in asking for faith, God will answer that prayer because it's a prayer that honours him. So you ask. You can ask. You should ask. He wants you to ask. I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to go into a time of prayer. But I just want to pray in response, first of all. So, where you are, if you need to pray, I'm going to pray first. Oh, sorry, that was my microphone.